believe we all know what motivation is. We talked about it recently, and being zealous for the Lord and being active. And really, motivation is the only reason we do anything, unless we're forced to do it against our will and dragged around. But really, the reason we're going to do something is because we're motivated to do it. It is what gets us moving and doing. That is what motivation is, when we're motivated to do things. And when it comes to raising children and helping them learn what they should be doing, we gently motivate them with a couple of things. And really, in general, we're motivated with two things. And that is, one, a reward that is promised, a reward that is there, something that we really want, something we would like to achieve and receive. And so that will motivate us. But there's also consequences of punishment. And that's certainly going to motivate us to want to do what it is we've got to do. And we certainly do that with children and raising children. We say, well, you know, if you don't do that, then you're going to get a spanking and you're not going to like that very much. And that's to motivate them. But also we say, well, if you do this, then you'll get this. And you better believe when candy's involved, oh, they're all excited about that. Reward and punishment. Two main things that really motivate us to do anything. And it's no different when we talk about our souls. When we talk about what God has called us to. God, our holy God, has called us to be holy. God has called us to repent of our sins, to turn away from sin, to leave that stuff alone, and then to instead live a holy life. And so God has called us to do that. And throughout His whole Word, what we see of God, as Paul said in Romans 11:22, we are to behold the goodness and severity of God. That God is a God of love, certainly, but He is also a God of wrath when sin is to be punished. And really, what we receive from God all depends on ourselves. Because the equation is rather simple. If God says, well, here you go, here is what I want of you and how much I love you, and it's up to you to do it, and I say, okay, well, am I gonna follow that and obey? God says, if we listen and obey, then He'll take care of us and we'll be rewarded. We'll have a home in heaven. That's the reward. The reward is heaven. But God also tells us, well, if you don't do this, then unfortunately there's a place called hell, and that's where the devil's going and all those who choose to follow him. And that's not good. And so before us we have the choice of heaven and hell, and it's really that simple. And those are meant to motivate us to do the will of God. To listen and to believe and to obey in faith and to live the holy life that God has called us to live. There are many texts in different ways. Sometimes we see texts in the Scripture talking about the great reward, the great home in heaven of what God has prepared for us. Sometimes we see the wrath and severity and seriousness of God against sin. This morning I want to go to a text where Peter starts out really mainly with the great reward that we have. And uses that as the foundation or the means of motivation to say, hey, let's get to doing what God wants us to do. But then right after that, he does give a warning that is attached to that as well. And that's what we want to look at this morning. If you would open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter's letter here that we have in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're really going to begin in verse 3 as Peter is writing to these Christians. These group of Christians, and his intent, his message is, of course, to motivate them, to understand what the will of the Lord is, and to get them to do it, to encourage them, admonish them, stir them up, say, listen, folks, here's what we got to be doing, and let's do it. And so beginning in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, he begins with what we find is the reward. The first thing he's bringing to our minds and our hearts is what God has done for us and what God in Christ Jesus has prepared for us in eternity. Notice when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The abundant mercy of God that has saved us from our sins, that God is willing to forgive us of our sins and is giving us hope. See, without God, without Christ, there is no hope. There's no hope of eternal life. But what God has done in Jesus Christ is He's given us that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, and we have been given an inheritance. An inheritance in heaven, He says, that is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. And it is reserved for us, for you. But in heaven, there is a spot, there is a place with your name on it that God has prepared. And that through Jesus Christ, we will receive. Who He says, then continuing in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. That salvation's there, it's waiting, it's ready. And it's coming, as Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, something. Behold, the day of our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It's coming. Every minute, every hour, every day, salvation is drawing closer. Ready to be revealed. And it says in verse 6, In this you greatly rejoice, even though He says you have suffered some trials. He says, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, but it's so that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, even though gold perishes, even though it's tested by fire, that our faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That yes, you're facing some trials and temptations and it's hard, but listen, you're enduring and you're making it and you still have that, you're focused on that home in heaven. He says of Jesus Christ in verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. We haven't seen Jesus, but we believe through His Word, and we love Jesus. We've partaken of the Lord's Supper this morning. Why? Because we're remembering Jesus. We're remembering what He's done for us because we love Him. And no, we've not seen Him, but boy, do we want to see Him. One day, we're going to see Jesus face to face. And what a day that'll be. To finally get to see our Savior, receiving, as He says, verse 9, the end of our faith, which is the salvation of your soul. Of this salvation, here's some fun facts. In verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them indicating when He testified beforehand of the sufferings of the Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. All the work we read of in this book about the prophets and all they did and the messages and the prophecies they made, it was all about getting to this point where we are today. It was for us. Of what we're enjoying right now in Christ. And so when we read in the Old Testament, we see prophecies, we see God's hand saying, that's how I got here today. They did all that for me. To reveal and to get ready to make known the grace of God that has now been revealed. And even this salvation that God has done with us, He says at the end of verse 12, things which angels desire to look into. I love that. things angels desire to look into. You know, we spend a lot of time, well, sometimes, really trying to study the angels and who they are, what they do, where they are. We're interested and fascinated in angels. But according to this, they're interested and fascinated in us and what God has done for us. Angels desire to look into this thing about salvation in Jesus Christ of the human beings God created. Even angels are in awe of what God has done for us. And so there Peter lays it out. He says, brethren, look at what God has done for us. Look at that inheritance in heaven, that place reserved for us, that in Christ Jesus and through the resurrection of Jesus, that we have hope, we have something to live for, something to look forward to. Look at everything God has done because He loves us. Look at this great salvation. Look at the great hope that He's given us. Look what God is offering and providing for us. And He has told us it in a very good way. So in verse 13, here's where the application comes in. As Peter says, therefore, and that therefore is meant to tell us that everything Peter's just talked about, Peter has laid a foundation. He says, based on the fact that this is the inheritance, the reward, this is the promise that God has made for us, this is what God has provided for us, this great hope of eternal life with God in heaven, of His eternal grace and riches, eternal life with Him. Therefore, based on that, gird up the loins of your mind, he says. That's the New King James. The ESV says, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your mind for action and be sober. And rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is encouraging these Christians, saying, folks, look at what God has done for us. And if you understand what that is, then let's get ready to do the will of God. Prepare your mind for action. For doing the will of God, of serving God, he says. Putting our hope fully on God. Verse 14, here's what we're to be. As obedient children. Not conforming ourselves to the former lusts as in our ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. There's the command and charge of God for us. It's to be holy as God is holy. In all our conduct. And everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, we're going to be holy. And where's the motivation for that? Well, what did Peter just say? Again, he laid out for us, look at what God has done for us. So we need to be obedient children to the Father. We need to be holy as God is holy. That's what God wants of us. And so if I want everything Peter said at the beginning, and I want that inheritance, I want that hope, I want to be in heaven with God, well then here you go. Be holy. Live a holy life. Be an obedient child of God. Don't conform to the worldly things of when you were in sin. Give up on those things. Live a holy life. And so that is what he calls us to do. Well, Peter not only uses the reward that God has promised us, but he gives us a warning of the fear of the Lord because he says, think about this. Verse 17. Talking to Christians, he says, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, then conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Essentially what Peter is saying is this. Calling God our Father is a serious thing. That is a serious privilege, honor. It is something we are not worthy of. But I can call God my Father. And Peter is saying, well, buddy, if you're going to call God your Father, then you need to be that obedient child. Because that's not something to take lightly. If I am going to call myself a child of God, then this is what I've got to be doing. I've got to be holy as He is holy. Because how dare I call myself a child of God and call on God as my Father, but then not obey Him? I can't do that. And that's what Peter is saying is, folks, you got to think about it. If we're going to call ourselves children of God, well, you better take it seriously. Because He is going to judge without partiality, according to our works. We're going to stand before God one day and we're going to be judged by how we lived and what we did. So are we ready for that judgment? Are we living for that? Are we being obedient children, being holy as God is holy? And so He says we're to conduct ourselves through our time here in fear. That is the realization that if I don't obey God, then that's where the severity, that's where the punishment is. And I don't want that. Right? I don't want that. But notice what He goes on to say in verse 18. He also says we need to remember this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible or perishable things like silver or gold. You were not redeemed with corruptible things from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers. Okay, redeemed. Okay, what have we been saved by? What has God purchased us with? What is it that has got us to this point? What is it that through it my sins are washed away? He says, well, it sure ain't stuff. It ain't things. It isn't even animals and goats and them things. It's with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead, and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So what Peter is saying is, folks, we got to remember that if I'm a Christian, I have been saved, I have been washed with the very blood of Jesus. That's how come I'm here today. It's by the precious blood of Jesus. So again, the warning of Peter is, folks, how could we, having been washed with the blood of Jesus, sin anymore? How could we not live a holy life? Because when I choose to sin, then I'm counting the blood of Christ as nothing. I'm telling God, well, the blood of your Son, it doesn't matter to me. The death of Jesus on the cross, meh, no big deal. And is that what we want to be telling God? So if I have become a Christian, I have been washed with the blood of Jesus. And I need to live that holy life God has called me to live. Because if I don't, if I called on God as my Father, and if I have been washed with the blood of Jesus, and then, but I'm not living for God, I'm not living the holy life, then what's that going to look like on the day of judgment? When I stand before God and say, I called you Father, I was washed in the blood of Jesus, but God, I didn't live for you. It doesn't work that way. And so Peter is warning us and admonishing us and guiding us, saying to be the obedient children, to be holy as God is holy. Because God is a God of love. He wants to give us this inheritance. He loves us so much He sent Jesus to die for us. So if we will obey in faith, We are to be holy as God is holy. That's our motivation. Our motivation is the hope and the reward that Peter talked about, and it's also the realization that one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to be judged according to what I've done, whether good or bad. And again, the choice is up to me. Do I want the goodness of God or do I want the severity of God? Well, if we know God at all, we know we want His goodness, not His severity. So therefore, as Peter says, let's be obedient children, being holy as God is holy, so that we all can receive that inheritance together and be with God in heaven. If you would, let's go to God in prayer. Our Father and our God, our Savior, our Redeemer. Dear Father, we praise Your holy name. Dear God, we know You've called us to be holy, to give up on sin, and we're thankful, dear God, that You have saved us from sin, forgiven us of our sins. Thank You for Jesus and His precious blood by which we can be saved and our sins washed away. And dear God, help us to see the great reward that You have prepared for us, to see Your great love, to see heaven and to see eternity with You, and to realize how awesome that is, how much we want to be there with You. And help us to see the seriousness of calling You our Father and of being washed in the blood of Jesus. And help us, guide us, move us to be holy and righteous as You are, dear Father. Please make us like You. Help us not to get distracted by the things of this world. Help us not to once again go into sin. Help us to live that holy life You have called us to live. And when we fall down, dear Lord, when we fall short, please forgive us and pick us up and help us to keep going. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Take your psalm books out, number selected this morning. Are you washed in the blood? That is the question. In Acts chapter 22 and in verse 16, Saul was asked, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins." It's in the waters of baptism that if we believe in God and we believe that Jesus died for us, and we believe that God raised Him from the dead, and we realize our sin, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we can repent of those sins, we can turn away from those sins, we can come to Jesus, come to God saying, "I believe, and I want to be saved, and I can be baptized in the waters of baptism into Jesus Christ, and as Ananias said, my sins will be washed away, washed in the blood of Jesus, so that then I can live the rest of my life for the Lord, living that holy life so that I can be in heaven with God." But we're not going to go to heaven if we never obey the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you've not obeyed the gospel, look at the great reward God has promised. The home of heaven. Great reward with God in eternity. But also know the severity that if you wind up in eternity and on judgment day not washed in the blood of Jesus, then there will be eternal consequences that are not pleasant. But the choice is yours. The choice is ours alone. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing this song?